Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Christina Baer, who is the attorney and the founder of Just Well Law. Christina, thanks for being here this morning.
Glad to be here. These people need justice.
Well, they do. Take us through some of the people that you represent, Christina, because we don't hear these personal stories of the hell that people have been through and what they continue to go through.
Well, what you were just describing is exactly right. People have been uprooted from their homes. They don't feel like their homes are safe. These are homes that have been in families for generations, and now they feel like they have nowhere to go.
Yeah.
And I mean it. Those houses are entirely contaminated from the top to the bottom. We've gone in them. We've smelt the chemicals. The cleanup was botched, as JD was saying, right? It was botched from the very beginning. You don't blow up a stream, for example, and let the contaminants into the air. That's just one example of what they did without evacuating the people right by the creek. So I went to the houses right there, and they're not safe, and people are still sick, and the place is still contaminated.
Has President Trump, have you been hearing, have residents been hearing as far as what moves President Trump? He's new to office, but he had made promises to these victims, some of whom obviously you represent. Has he yet to sign the disaster declarations that people are hoping for? What are people hoping for with the vice president visiting today?
Well, I don't want to speak to their political hopes.
Right.
What we did today was we filed a case on behalf of 744 plaintiffs who still need help. They need care. They need medical care. They need money to move away. They want accountability. They want transparency. They want to know what they were exposed to. They haven't received the test results of what they were exposed to, and they want to know. And that's what the case is about.
And so you're obviously representing these hundreds of survivors of this and families. Can you describe just to so that everybody listening or watching us on YouTube can understand or relate to what people have been going through, the real human struggle behind this devastation?
Well, it was not a wealthy area to begin with. So people were already struggling. Imagine coming out of COVID and small businesses are struggling. And then this train comes through and it was entirely preventable, entirely predictable. They let a train, first of all, they failed to maintain the trains. And then they let a train that was on fire explode right in the middle of town. And that blanketed those houses right there with the fumes and the chemicals like vinyl chloride. And it wasn't just one chemical. It was all the chemicals combusting. Mm-hmm. And people got sick.
Yeah.
And they were first told to evacuate. And this is what's upsetting. The evacuation order was not clear. It was not. The government didn't do the basic modeling that would have been required to tell people in the wake where to go. So there weren't clear warnings. But even once people did get the message and left town, the EPA just a few days later said, all safe, come on back. And then they were surprised mm-hmm. when people came back to their homes, smelled the fumes again, and got sick again. And now, because the EPA's evacuation order had been withdrawn, now people are really struggling. Where do they go now? So people have been in those houses. Some were able to get away, but many can't afford to leave. And they've been there now living with the contamination for 2 years. And what's upsetting is, what you just quoted mm-hmm. with the J.D. Vance saying, these are the fish that are dead.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was never properly remediated.
Right.
And anytime they came in to do the work, my clients got sick again.
And so what kinds of...
Because they didn't... Oh, go ahead.
I just wonder what kinds of sicknesses we're talking about and how does this impact, for example, I think of, I know there were pregnant mommies, families people worried about their young children, worried, you know, about their health, and then the layers that happen in this kind of situation.
So imagine that you have something that causes systemic inflammation, like toxic exposure.
Yeah.
Whatever you have going on in your body, it's going to make it worse. So you've got kids with developmental delays.
Oh, God.
Now they're regressing further. You have kids on the autism spectrum. Now they've been taken out of those homes. They've lost their routines. They don't have order. They don't have the appropriate therapies because everything's upended. So you have both the physical changes, and then you have the trauma. And what we've seen is a lot of brain damage. You have brain fog, memory loss, attention challenges. You've got kids regressing their milestones. You've got kids who are not doing as well in school as they were before. You know, and what toxic exposure does is it causes a double brain injury. One is a physiological change of the brain. We know that these chemicals cause physiological changes. But the other is the trauma. Mm-hmm. And the trauma also causes a physiological response. And so these people have a double brain injury. And I haven't met a single person who has not described the brain fog and the memory loss and the brain challenges. It's almost universal. And it's really, you know, you need your brain to function in the world.
Sure.
But I also don't want to get lost. I don't want the disruption to get lost or minimized, because you are expected to feel safe at home. You have the right to expect to feel safe at home. And during COVID, the rest of the world was dangerous, but home was where you were safe.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Now you're poisoned at home. And you're worried about yourself, and you're worried about your kids. And you're Googling leukemia in the middle of the night. And then you're wondering whether you should Google the pediatric symptoms or the adult symptoms, because who's going to get it first? That is very real, and don't tell me that that's irrational.
And I know in
any mother would feel that way.
Well, I know in one case, Christina, one of your clients, one family, they lost their baby. Is that true? They're blaming their baby's death?
This is a family that had many, many kids,
mm-hmm.
all healthy, and suddenly had a baby, lost the baby at 1 week old.
Oh, gosh. I mean, it's devastating. You know, I mentioned as far as, you know, what the government can do, and obviously there's a double component because you have the EPA involved. You have Norfolk Southern involved, so you have the train company. But what has government, whether it's statewide or even federal government, as far as meeting the needs of people, as far as, you know, we know that when anybody declares, let's say, a state of emergency or a disaster declaration statewide or nationally, what happens is that frees up money. So have the people of East Palestine, do they feel supported within that, you know, scaffolding of support to at least feel government support?
Absolutely not. Because the failures of the EPA and the circumstance know no bounds. What the EPA did was they came in and they started minimizing right away. And this is what I've seen elsewhere, by the way. First of all, they let the railroad do the testing. That's like having a criminal go into a crime scene and take the fingerprint.
Oh, my gosh.
You can't. And so what we found is the EPA and the railroad together tested for the wrong components. And then they can say, well, the limits are not, you know, it's really all acceptable limits. Well, acceptable limits of what? And how much vinyl chloride do you want in your baby's bottle?
Yeah, zero.
Right? Or in your baby's nursery with that one-year-old with those tiny, tiny lungs, or a pregnant mom, or a kid with autism. So, you know, I think what we have the EPA doing in these circumstances is they come in and they want to just calm everybody down. Shh, it's all okay. Let's get everything back to normal. Mm-hmm. Let's let people want to get home. Let's let them get home. Well, it's better safe than sorry. Don't assume it's safe until you have testing that really shows it's safe. And if it still smells like vinyl chloride, it's not safe. Don't let these people back into those houses. So meanwhile, our understanding is the EPA and the CDC and others, the railroad, told every doctor in the area that there was no testing that could be done and just test this, just treat the symptoms, and everybody's going to be fine. And that is not true. That's not the right advice. And that's not what their own OSHA guidelines say. There are guidelines for exposure to chemicals because people work with chemicals in the professional settings, right? Yes. And so we have treatment guidelines. The government has treatment guidelines, OSHA guidelines, Navy guidelines, right? Army guidelines. The federal government knows how to do this. Why aren't they following their own rules?
Yeah, that's the question that I know. I saw one headline, just toxic nightmare 2 years later. And so what do you expect? I mean, obviously, the ahead of the two-year anniversary, I know these new cases, there were already pending cases. Now there are new cases, right, as we look at this. I mean, this is a huge lawsuit that's trying to push for what? Transparency, justice, accountability, and basically help these people rebuild their lives, their homes, and their health. What did I leave out?
Well, that's right. The justice system is entrusted with enforcing the safety rules. And it only works if people bring the claims. And the justice system does that in two ways. One, it compensates the people who have been harmed. And then two, it prevents future harm. It has a deterrent effect. And you can't have one without the other, right? You have to have the compensation to have the deterrence. And that's what it has been missing here. The railroad paid $600 million. I mean, you divide that by the people affected and you get dollars.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing in comparison to what these people lost. And importantly, not only did it not compensate people well, but it also didn't have the deterrent effect. This is going to happen again. And we have to hold the EPA accountable to its own rules, and we have to hold the railroad accountable.
Mm-hmm.
So we're bringing claims, and this is what's a little bit unique about this now. We filed those 744 claims to the EPA and to the CDC. And that is something called the Federal Tort Claims Act that allows people who've been harmed by the negligence of the United States to bring claims against the United States for the harm. It's a beautiful thing, by the way. Not every country has that.
Mm-hmm.
But we've said as a country, we want people to be compensated when they have been harmed by the negligence of federal officers. And we want to deter those federal officers from doing further harm. So these 744 plaintiffs are standing up and saying, not on our watch. It stops with us. This isn't going to happen to the next community because we're taking a stand now. And so they're taking a stand for themselves, for their families, but also for all of us. Because if they don't bring the claims, who will? So there is absolutely legislative advocacy, legislative change that is needed. There are declarations that are needed. These people need health care. There should be absolutely the medical monitoring must be put in place in it. And stronger than what's there. Nothing has really started.
Mm-hmm.
All of that needs to happen. This litigation is one component of a broader community effort.
Yeah. Christina Baer, and I know that you have some local ties, as you did attend initially Princeton before Yale Law School, really an advocate for those individuals injured in cases like these. But even for what's going on in Philadelphia with a plane crash, fire, I remember the Sunoco, it wasn't called the Sunoco refinery, when they told all of us, I was working in the city that day, oh, it's fine, there's nothing, you know, this big refinery fire was going on and the sky was black, but everything's fine.
Right.
I mean,
right.
As an expert in this area, what's your advice to people, even people listening right now, as far as if they believe they've been exposed to something? Are there things that people, because none of us really know what to do, and I suppose you're dealing with in the wake of a disaster. Do you have advice for people on, I don't know, recording information or what they should do?
Well, that is such a great question. It gave me goosebumps because I think what we have in these circumstances is gaslighting at the highest levels. It's them telling you that it's safe when there's black smoke in the air. And I'm a survivor of toxic exposure myself, which is why I started this firm to help other families. And my advice is trust your gut. You know what is true. So I hate to say this, but don't listen to the EPA if they're telling you it's safe and you know it's not. You are responsible for those kids. You are responsible for yourself. And get very centered and start listening to yourself. And look for the helpers. Look for the real helpers. Look for the truth tellers. Who's in the community speaking truth about what's happening? And you'll find them. You'll find them in every circumstance. You know, I wasn't there then because I was working on that huge Navy case at the time. Mm-hmm. But I know that on Facebook at the time, there was a guy who worked for the railroad who started getting on the Facebook groups and saying, these are some of the chemicals. It's very dangerous. Get out, get out, get out. And he was just a former railroad employee who went out of his way to see how he could reach the people there and warn them. And how sad that it wasn't the institutions we trust to do that.
Yeah.
The institutional betrayal here is so real. But there were truth tellers. And so if you're in that circumstance, look for the truth tellers and look for the helpers and trust yourself and know that there will come a day when you will see the light. Not this instant, but my prayer or hope for everyone who has been exposed to these chemicals, whether it's chemicals or toxic mold, like in my situation, or toxic water, my prayer and hope is that you would get well enough to help others and that you would turn around and help the next person.
Christina Bear,
and I know that you will.
Thank you so much. You have such an inspirational message as you're advocating for these 744 victims. I hope that you come back and update us. And I'd actually love to hear more about the toxic mold, because I think that's something that is not talked about enough, where people are not aware.
I'll talk about it anytime. I'm so glad to be on. I look forward to talking to you again. This is so important, all of it.
We're thrilled to have you. Christina Bear, founder of Just Well Law. Thank you, Christina.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.